Reading 3, A Journey to the New World, The Diary of Remember Patience Whipple, Mayflower, 1620, page 31, October 30th, 1620, Mayflower, 2530 miles sailed. Dear Imp, this is the very darkest thing I have ever told you. Only you I can trust. Hummy and I have decided that if Wheel has not improved by tonight, we are going to steal the draught. It is the most awful thing watching Will. He hardly recognizes either Hummy or myself. He seems so alone in his terror. Love, Mem. October 31st, 1620, Mayflower. Dear Imp, well, thank the Lord we did not have to steal the draught. There be another surgeon doctor on this ship, not a saint, mind you, and one that we have not paid any heed to. His name is Giles Heal. But he, having passed by poor Will's pallet many times, became increasingly concerned. I watched him. So at last I went up, page 32, and asked if he indeed had some of his draught to ease Will's feverish dreams. Hummy could hardly believe it, because she knew that we saints seemed to avoid him, and she told me later that indeed Elder Brewster did look oddly at me when he saw me speaking to Giles Heal. But the good physician said that he most certainly did, and he had thought that most naturally Deacon Fuller would have dosed him. When I told him nay, he immediately fetched his satchel. Then would you believe it, Imp? The old deacon comes up and says, "What are you doing to the boy? That is my patient." And Giles Healy, just as calm as anything, says, "I am doing what should have been done 2 days ago. Sir, I am giving this boy a draught before his fever burns a hole into his brain." For all the deacon's pious ways and all his pompous views, this simple stranger knew the true path better. I love the notion that the good man's name is what he tries to do. Heal. Love, Mem. Page 33, November 4th, 1620, Mayflower. Dear Imp, I'm not so sure about Will. He only squeezed my hand once today, and not at all for Hummy. I can think of nothing except poor Will. This voyage goes on too long, but if it would mean his life would be spared, it could go on forever. Love, Mem. November 5th, 1620, Mayflower. Dear Imp, it has been days since either Hummy or I have been topside, so I have no idea of the progress we make. Our world has shrunk totally to the circumference of Will's pallet. We eat beside him. What little we care to eat, we sleep beside him. I know his face so well. I know every thin little blue vein in his fluttering eyelids. I know how his dark blonde hair sweeps in a reverse S-shape back from his temples. Love, Mem. Page 34, November 6, 1620, Mayflower, 2800 miles south. Dear Imp, Will died a few minutes past midnight this night. Love, Mem. November 6, 1620, written at dawn, Mayflower, 2835 miles sailed. Dear Imp, 43 north and 2835 miles from England. I shall never forget those numbers. That is where Will is. That is where they slipped his poor body over the side. Had we flowers, Hummy and I would have tossed them over to mark the spot. But we had none, so we took a knife to the hems of each one of our extra dresses. Mine be red and Hummy's be blue. We cut strips from them, and then when Lark saw what we were doing, she right there and then sat down and took the knife to her own dress, the very one that she was wearing. With these strips, we braided a colorful braid with some white. Page 35, from our most under petticoats. And so when they took Will topside to slip him over, as the prayers were being spoken, Hummy and I together tossed the braid into the sea, just as the water closed over our dear Will Button's head. Hummy and I did not want to go below. We could not face that rank, dark space anymore. Not with his close air and then the constant fightings of the Billingtons, and the very presence of Deacon Fuller will forever unnerve me. But most of all, we felt that we had to stand our watch over Will. We had to watch that ocean to which he now belonged. We had to see him through his first night of eternity, on this vast and endless sea. That is all, dear Imp. I feel a great desolation. I must fight for my faith now, my faith that, although Will Button seemed in this world so alone, that he be in another new joined forever with something of comfort and love. Ma'am came up with biscuits and salt beef for me and Hummy. Salt beef, and it not being a flesh day. You see how discomposed we all are. But Ma'am seems to understand our need to be up there, and she touched each of our faces, her hand lingering a bit on Hummy's, as if she felt perhaps she needed a bit extra since her father is so melancholy. She said to us that we might sleep from now on in the longboat topside, as long as the weather holds and there are no storms. That she will fix us a bed warmer with live coals wrapped in a tinderbox and give us extra coverings. That is some solace, but even better solace would be the sight of land. Page 36. It has been so long. We must be getting near. At least that is what the sailors say. Love, Mem. November 7th, 1620, Mayflower, 2,850 miles sailed. Dear Imp, the Bilgewater boys are in real trouble now. They tried to drown the ship's cat in a barrel of water. They claimed that they were just giving it a bath or some such nonsense about teaching it to swim. Master Jones thrashed them. He said that cat is worth the two of them together, and if we don't have a good cat aboard, rats will take us over. So he's making the boys each catch a rat a day until the end of the voyage. He says that he believes that the punishment should fit the crime. It does disturb me, however, to think of those boys stalking rats, because I have a feeling in my bones that they will do some sort of mischief with them. Love, Mem. Page 37. November 8th, 1620, Mayflower. 2,900 miles sailed. Dear Imp, Hummy and I love sleeping in the longboat on deck. It is so much fresher than below, and all the sounds are different. The first night after Will died and we slept here, we just huddled together, holding on to each other, and cried. I kept thinking of all those little faces he drew so cunningly on his hand. I wondered how long would they last in the seawater, and if a fish might come up and find a story in Will Button's fingers. So silly, but it made me feel good thinking about Will cajoling the fish as he once had the babies. I feel that I have entered an entirely new world up here in the longboat. And oddly enough, I feel much closer to Will B., for this is where he slept, and now I know how he knew so much about the ship and its sailings. The longboat is stowed just behind the forecastle, under the crow's nest, where the lookout stands watch, but we have a good view of it all. It is on the upper deck that the crew lives and where their cook has his own galley. It is on the poop deck that the sailing master's stateroom is, but he has kindly shared this cabin and the ship's officer's cabin and steerage with some of the... Page 38. More important people, such as Elder Brewster and his wife and the Bradfords. But the most important person at the end of the ship are the helmsman and the officers on deck. 'Tis the helmsman who steers the ship. The helmsman, however, cannot see where he is going from his position. 'Tis the officer on deck who keeps a sharp eye on the compass and sings out the directions to the helmsman. So all through the night, the darkness is laced with these lovely words that are orders. Starboard a little! Full and by, luff here a little, steady now. And now, in addition to these wonderful words, Hummy and I can clearly hear the ring of the bells signaling the change of watches. The best part, however, about sleeping out is the dawn. That first morning after Will died, it came up, pink and gray with a touch of blue. Indeed, it seemed almost as if those strips of cloth we braided for Will had floated up yonder into the sky and braided together the clouds. Love, Mem. Page 39, November 9th, 1620, Mayflower, 2,950 miles sailed. Dear Imp, land ahoy! The call from the crow's nest cracked the dawn. Hummies and my eyes flew open. I sat up so quick I banged my head and have an egg a-growing on my brow. But we all hurried out, unable to believe the words, our eyes wide in the half-light of dawn. Several of us crowded along the rail. The sailors saw it first, the faint, dark line against the horizon. Their eyes be trained to pick out such features from the unending plainness of the sea and sky. But within minutes of searching the horizon with our eyes, Hummy and I began to see the same. We held each other's hands so tightly and almost dared not to breathe. But minute by minute, the line became firmer and began to thicken. 'Twas not a wisp of a dream, but real. It had taken us all of 65 days, but finally we are here. This be the new world, and it doth fill my eyes for the first time. My eyes did blur with tears, and Hummy and I turned and hugged each other so hard, and both thought of our dear Will lying at the bottom of the sea. But Hummy did whisper to me, 'Mem, he now be in heaven, and his eyes doth reflect the glory of the Lord, and he sits with his mother once again.'" Page 40. And these words of Hummy did help us both, and we turned to look once more on this new world, at the far edge of this vast and terrible sea. Love, Mem.